thank you for tuning in to the radio ministry of Clearview Church. At Clearview, our focus is making Christ visible and providing an atmosphere of worship and community. Come check us out at 3485 Oxford Road in Henderson, or visit us online at clearviewbc.org. Now join us for this week's message by Pastor Abadan Shah.
Now imagine with me trying to feed 5,000 men. And not just 5,000 men, because the other Gospels tell us there were also women and children. So if half of those men were married, that would be 2,500 women. And if all of them had three kids at an average, which is, by the way, very small compared to the families they had back then. But just imagine if they had three kids each, that would be about 7,500 children. Now add all that up, and you get 15,000 people. I personally believe it was 15,000 plus people that Jesus fed. In our series on the miracles of Jesus, we come to that miracle that you know very well, where Jesus took five loaves, two fish, and he fed 5,000 men. But it's not telling us how many women and children. I believe it was somewhere in the 20,000s. But as great as that miracle was, Jesus did not come just to provide us physical sustenance. He didn't come just to give us physical food. He came to provide spiritual sustenance. He came to provide food for the soul. And that is our message today, that Jesus is the great soul sustainer. If you have your Bibles with you, turn to John chapter 6, starting in verse 2, and let's all stand together for the reading of God's Word. Then a great multitude followed him because they saw his signs which he performed on those who were diseased. And Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There's a lad here who has five barley loaves and two small fish, but what are these among so many?" Then Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down, in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down. And likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain so that nothing is lost." Therefore, they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments of the five barley loaves which were left over by those who had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, "Truly, this is the prophet who is to come into the world." Therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he departed again to the mountain by himself. Let's read again verse 2. Then a great multitude followed him, followed Jesus, because they saw his signs which he performed on those who were diseased. If you remember, a few messages ago in the Gospel of John, I explained to you that when John the Apostle uses the word signs, he has more than miracles in mind. He is referring to those incidents that prove that Jesus was and is God, and he was the one to come. The miracle of Jesus feeding the 5,000 plus women and children was more than just about Jesus feeling sorry for hungry people and saying, oh, here you go, eat, please, eat. You don't want to die. You don't want to be so sluggish. Eat some food. It is about spiritual hunger. It is a sign. With that in mind, look at verse 3 and verse 4. And Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now listen, pay attention to verse 4. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. Now if you read those verses quickly, you miss the key. You miss the clue to the entire miracle. What people typically do is they say, oh, feeding the 5,000. Yes, Jesus was with all these people. He felt compassion on them. And this little boy had loaves and fishes, and they explained the whole miracle. You will miss it unless you read verse 4 again. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. Jesus performed this miracle at Passover. The feast of the Passover, along with the feast of the unleavened bread, were joint festivals that commemorated the Hebrew people leaving Egypt. Remember, they were in slavery in Egypt, and God sent his servant Moses, who did signs and wonders, and then he delivered them from the land of slavery. On that night, the Bible tells us in Exodus chapter 12, God commanded that every Israelite home, the head of that home, should take a lamb, slaughter that lamb, and take the blood and smear it on the doorpost and on the lintel of the house. When the destroyer would go through the land, if the house had blood, he would pass over it. No blood, the firstborn male child, young or old, will die. Something else. In Exodus chapter 12, it tells us that each family should eat that roasted lamb along with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. You know, the same lamb that they had just slaughtered and put the blood on the doorpost and on the lintel, it was roasted whole, no broken bones, and then unleavened bread. You don't have time for the yeast to rise. Eat it without leaven and bitter herbs. Something else. Listen to verse 11, Exodus chapter 12. God even told them how to eat. Thus you shall eat it, with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. So you shall eat it in haste. This is not a fancy leisurely dinner. This is, you are eating in haste. Not only that, keep your sandals on. Now back in those days, they would sit on the ground and eat. In fact, they would recline. They would recline on their elbow, and that's how they would eat. Not tonight. If you were to sit on the floor with your sandals, that would be so uncomfortable, so you have to stand. Something else that tells you they had to stand is they had a staff in your hand. Now imagine if you had a long staff about this tall, and you had to sit on the floor and hold that staff in your hand. I mean, that would be so off balancing. I mean, you would have to stand. The whole point is this: you are eating in haste. So tonight there is nothing, Mom, can I get some salt, please? No salt. Eat the food. We got to leave. Can I have some ketchup? Can I play with my food a little bit? You know how kids do it. Not tonight. Eat the lamb. Eat the bread, the bitter herbs. We have to leave tonight. Now I'm telling you all this for a reason, so keep that tucked away in your mind. And God told them that this feast of the Passover, this eating of the lamb and the unleavened bread and bitter herbs, should be done every year when they get into the promised land. So now, go back to John chapter 6, verse 5. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" But this he said to test him. And did Philip pass the test? Of course not. He failed it with flying colors. Jesus said, how can we feed him? But he was testing him. He said, well, let me pull out my calculator or whatever they had back then. He's like, well, 200 will not really pay for all these people, Jesus. It's a little beyond our budget. Why in the world did Jesus put this question to Philip? Now, to understand this, stay with me. You have to back up to John chapter 1 and verse 43. The first time Philip met Jesus. Listen to what it says. The following day, Jesus went out to Galilee and he found Philip and said to him, follow me. Now listen to verse 45. Philip found Nathanael. Philip and Nathanael were best friends. He found him and said to him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Jesus was not trying to trick Philip. He was testing Philip because Philip knew the Bible. You know what the right answer was? When Jesus said, how can we feed them? Philip should have said, Jesus, you are the great prophet. You are the one to come. You are the bread of life. You can do anything. You say the word and we're here to obey you. Instead, he's like, well, let's see. I don't know. 200, we can't do it. He failed the test. He knew the answer, and yet he failed the test. I'm going to give you a principle. This is a deep message, but stay with me on this. The message, the principle is this. When God tests you, he always gives you the review sheet first. You know the answer. He will never test you just to trip you up. You know the answer deep in your core, and he's saying, do you still trust me? Many of you are going through a test in your life. And sometimes you look up and say, I don't know, God, what you want me to do. God is not going to test you without giving you the review sheet first. You know what needs to happen. You know what God's will is. You know he wants you to trust him. You know what's happening in our nation. You can panic. You can be upset. You can be wringing your hands. Or you can say, God, you are sovereign. You are in control. Nothing happens apart from your will. This is still a nation under God. Do you believe that? And you can go to sleep at night. This is a test for our nation. Would you like to know what needs to happen to our nation? Revival needs to happen to our nation. Where every church, every believer gets on fire for the Lord. End your personal issues, give them to the Lord, and get behind his business. That's what needs to happen. So what happens next? Philip fails the test. Here comes Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He finds a young kid. The Bible doesn't tell us if he's a boy or a girl. Some Bible translations say he's a lad, little boy, who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. Now you have to pay attention this morning. What is the feast? Passover. What is the main course? What is the main meat in the Passover feast? The lamb. There is no food. All we can find is 5 loaves and 2 fish. No, you need lamb for the Passover. It's Passover time. There is no lamb. Or is there? Jesus is the lamb. You see, if you just read this miracle on the surface, you miss the message. Can you imagine if I were writing the Bible, I would have said, oh, and then they found a whole herd of lambs, and the disciples went on a slaughtering spree, and they cooked the lamb, and boy, the people rejoiced, and it was a great day. No. We got loaves and fish at a Passover meal that requires a lamb. If without a lamb, it's not a Passover meal, but is there a lamb? There is a lamb, and John the Apostle gives us clues throughout the first chapter. In fact, through the mouth of John the Baptist, listen to what it said, John 1:36, and looking at Jesus as he walked toward him, he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. If that's not enough, John the Baptist says it again in verse 36. And looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." See, this miracle is not about the loaves and the fish. The Lamb is already there. What did Jesus tell his disciples to do? He told them, make the people sit down. You know, everything that John the Apostle tells us in this miracle has a purpose. Make the people sit. By the way, the word sit is anapesin, which actually means recline. As I mentioned to you, how did people eat back in those days? They recline. One elbow like this, and they would eat like this. How was the Passover meal supposed to be eaten? Standing up as if you are in a hurry to go. Belt tied, sandals on, staff in hand. It's time to eat and run. But not today. Not today, because the wrath is not upon the people. The wrath is upon the Lamb. So y'all can sit. You know what is really happening in this miracle? The deep sign between the lines that is given to us is this. Just like the miracle of turning water into wine, that the new wine was superior to the old wine, that Jesus was superior to all the rituals, all the purification of the Old Testament. You know what the deep sign is here? That Jesus has superseded the Passover. Listen to verse 10. John gives us another detail. Now there was much grass in that place. Thousands and thousands of people reclining on this beautiful green pasture land. Psalm 23. What does Psalm 23 say? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. The Lamb is also the shepherd. Don't stand. Make them sit, make them recline. And John adds the detail that it was beautiful green grass all around, because the shepherd has come. The Lamb is also the shepherd. Now listen to what happens in verse 11. Going back to John chapter 6. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples. All this is important. And the disciples to those, what does the Bible say? Sitting down, sitting down, sitting down, lying down, reclining. If you're not reclining, you don't get the bread. Sit, recline. And the miracle is amazing. No great light, no big sound, nothing. As they're passing the bread and fish, it just keeps on coming. It keeps on coming. It keeps on coming. And people are eating and they are full. They're satisfied. But now listen to what happens. Jesus told his disciples to gather up the fragments, and they had 12 baskets full. Why do you think he's told them to do that? Keep in mind, this is a sign. This whole miracle is a sign. Just like Jesus has superseded Passover, now you're going to learn that he has also superseded Moses. You know, Moses did a miracle where the people were hungry and birds fell from the sky and they could eat, and then bread rose from the ground under the dew, and you call the bread manna. You say, well, that's too much. You know, Jesus doesn't say that. Yes, he does. Go down about 20 verses later to John chapter 6, the same chapter, and verse 32. Now, you can look at the screen. It's all there. They didn't get the miracle, so Jesus had to later on explain to them the whole miracle. Now, see if you can find Moses and the manna in the wilderness. Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And if they still didn't get it, listen to verse 48. I am the bread of life. You know, this whole miracle is not about we're hungry or, you know, this is the Passover. This miracle is about Jesus being the bread of life. Listen to the next verse, verse 49. Jesus says, your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. Now, help me teach this for a moment. What was God's stipulation about the manna? You have to eat it the same day, what you need. What would happen? What would happen if you would collect more? What would happen? It would spoil. It would breed worms and it would stink. Not this bread. When they were done, you had left over. And you could come back and eat it, and eat it, and eat it, and it did not spoil. You know what the message is behind it? Keep in mind, this is a sign. The whole miracle is pointing to Jesus being the Lamb of God and the bread of life. That you can never eat too much of Jesus. You can keep eating. You can keep feeding upon His truth, His life. It just never, ever enough. Listen to what it says. Jesus said this, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. You know why Jesus told His disciples to go gather up? They were not to-go boxes. All right? What He was telling them is, that's my life. That's how precious is my life. The more you eat it, the more you want to keep feeding upon me. And it never stinks, it never goes stale, and you never die. Now, here's the question. Did the people understand the meaning in the miracle? No, they didn't. They missed the whole sign. What did the people do? What did the people do? In verse 14, then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, they said, man, right there, now that's a prophet now. You know what else they did? They came by force trying to make Him king. What did Jesus do? He said, I got to go. And He told the disciples to get in the boat and leave, and He just like disappeared. Next thing you know, He's like on the other side of the lake. There are a few very important truths in this miracle. And I want you to hear me very carefully now for the next 2 minutes. All of us have been created with a spiritual appetite. All of us. You know, a human is not just body. We're also a spirit. A soul. A heart. We're not just meant to eat physical food and work hard and create and have a good time and die. We also have something deep within us. It's called a spiritual appetite. Here's the second principle. Only Jesus and His Word can satisfy this need. You know what some people try to do? They try to fill that appetite with entertainment. They try to fill that appetite with work. And I'm for working. I believe in working hard. I believe in working smart. I believe in being successful. But this success cannot satisfy your spiritual hunger. Some people try to fill it with relationships. If I just have someone in my life, that's wonderful. But this can only be filled by Jesus and His Word. See, He is the bread from heaven sent down for your spiritual hunger. Here's the third principle. If you have tasted this bread, if you have fed upon Jesus, you cannot revert to spiritual junk food. Right now, listen carefully to me. Right now, many of you are in a mess because you have been feeding upon spiritual junk food. You know how you know you're feeding on spiritual junk food? Most of the time, who's eating junk food don't realize they're eating junk food and what's it doing to their body. But people around you know. So also when you're eating spiritual junk food, it shows up in your marriage. It shows in how you treat your kids. It shows up in how you are living for God. Many of you right now are so spiritually malnutritioned. Here's the fourth principle. The longer you go without spiritual nourishment, the less hungry you become. Oh man, so much going on. I just don't have time for church today. But I tell you what, next week on, we're going to be there. We got to get back in. Next week comes, man, so much going on. Man, it's just, I just don't have time. I tell you what, once this month is over, we're back in. The longer you stay away from Jesus and His Word, the less and less hungry you become. But look at this principle. The more you feed upon Jesus and His Word, the hungrier you become. The more you dig into His Word, the more you feed upon His truth, the more you want it. I refuse to believe that, oh, it's too deep, and oh, it's just too much, it just goes over my head, I just don't care. It's got nothing to do with that. It has to do with your desire. Here's something else. People are dying of hunger. You know what's happening in our nation? It's called spiritual malnutrition. You know who has the answer? We do. Isn't that amazing that Jesus told His disciples to pass the bread and the fish? Now, Jesus could have just done this, and everybody would have had a plate in their hands. No, He said, no, you give. No, you don't get to sit. You do. That's the same thing He's telling us. People are hungry. They're dying without Christ. You have the bread of life. You claim you have Jesus, then you have the Lamb of God. You take it to others. And the last one, yes, Jesus is the bread of life, but He's also the Lamb of God. Why in the world did God use these two different metaphors? On one hand, He's calling Himself the Lamb of God. On the other hand, He's calling Himself the bread of life. What's the difference between those two? Now, stay with me, please. Don't miss this point. You see, the bread was a peasant's diet. Back in those days, all you ate was bread and water. It fills you up, gives you the carbs you need. You go out there and work, and you're hungry again. You got to eat. But Jesus was also the Lamb of God. You know what the lamb means? Means only if you were rich could you afford a lamb. Right? When Jesus' mother and father, who were very poor, had to go to the temple, they could not get a lamb. So what did they do? They used doves. And even at the Passover, if your family cannot afford a lamb, join up with somebody else. Jesus is not cheap. He's available. Anyone can have Him. But He's not cheap. He's a precious Lamb of God. How is your spiritual nutrition? Do you need to feed upon Christ and His Word? Is it showing in your life? As much as I prepare sermons, as much as I write articles, as much as I write papers on the Bible, here's the funny thing. I can do all those things and still be spiritually empty. I have to get on my face before God and ask Him to fill me with Christ and His truth. If I don't do that, I can cook for you. I can work in the kitchen and lose the taste for food. Have you lost the taste for Christ? Come today. Fall on your face before God and say, God, today I need You in my life. I need Christ in my life. I need His truth in my life. And if you've never given your heart to Christ, today's the day for the first time, taste and see that the Lord is good.
Thank you so much for joining us for this message. Jesus is both the Lamb of God and the bread of life. He's the only one who can satisfy our spiritual hunger. For more information, visit us online at clearviewbc.org. And for this sermon's notes, check out Pastor Shaw's blog at abadanshaw.com.